This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
A back-to-back text in that last segment. One says, what is Dirt smoking? The next one, you know, Dirt's making some pretty good points right now. Time for the Daily Ticker on a Monday. Brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Pelican Brewing. Four locations along the Oregon coast. Fly over to a Pelican location. Enjoy epic views, local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. Let's go down to Los Angeles for the Daily Ticker. Talk about quarterbacks that we're sure about. Matthew Stafford's pretty damn good. That I know. He won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Not as much this year.
Now, how much money is he worth is the lingering question. Joining us now, Michael J. Duarte, our good friend from down in Los Angeles. Been covering the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Rams, everything.
The whole scene
down in LA for NBC LA. You can follow him on Twitter, at Michael J. Duarte. Michael, good morning to you. There's a million things we want to ask you about because that's just LA and you got a lot of stuff going on. Oh, hey, by the way, Luka Doncic is there now. What's the scuttlebutt about Matthew Stafford, the feeling about him, and where do you think this thing is heading as it looks like from our glance it could be a potential divorce?
Yeah, gentlemen, good morning, and thanks for having me on. There was never a dull moment here in Los Angeles, that's for sure. And obviously here with the Rams, the NFL team that has just recently won a Super Bowl here in La La Land, they have a decision to make. And if I'm Matthew Stafford, I must be listening to The Clash because he's asking himself right now, should I stay or should I go? And as he's out there with his agent looking at other teams, testing the market, seeing what trades are available, the Rams and fans here in L.A. who love Matthew Stafford are wondering exactly like you said, what's going to happen. Ultimately, sources have told me from the beginning the Rams' decision to trade Cooper Kupp, and this is a guy who was the Triple Crown winner not too long ago, Super Bowl MVP, Matthew Stafford's favorite target. But if you look at this previous 2024 season, and especially the last, like, I don't know, 6 to 8 games, Cooper Kupp just wasn't receiving the same targets, the same receptions. It looks like Puka Nacua had taken up the mantle as Stafford's favorite target. So to pay a guy $30 million, especially when it comes to your cap hit at the time, even though they love Cooper Kupp and everything he does off the field and his relationship with Stafford as well, that's a situation the Rams want to move on for and are seeking a trade for. Ultimately, this move to have him go look at his market and see his value is, as we remember famously on Hard Knocks, didn't work out for the New York Giants when they did this with Saquon Barkley, and look what happened to Saquon Barkley this previous year. This is what's out there, and it's dangerous for the Rams. But ultimately, my sources told me this is just a move to eventually get Matthew Stafford back and have him restructure his deal and hopefully get that Cooper Kupp money off the book. And the Rams would look to draft a wide receiver coming up in the draft and try to find a diamond in the rough like they originally did with Cooper Kupp and did with Puka Nacua just a couple years ago. But guys, I would watch out for the Minnesota Vikings here. This is a team that won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold at quarterback. Obviously, they drafted J.J. McCarthy to be the franchise quarterback with the number 10 overall pick, and he kind of redshirted last year. But this is a team with a great defense. They had a better offensive line than even the Rams. He's got a familiar face in head coach Kevin O'Connell, a division he knows in the NFC North. If the Vikings want to trade for this guy, which I know they had maybe thought about early in the season last year, if they want to trade for Matthew Stafford and kind of go all in and try to win in this very tight window before they hand over the reins to J.J. McCarthy, that's the one team that would worry me if I'm the Rams about who could take Matthew Stafford the place he actually would go to and maybe ask for a trade to. The other teams out there, if you kind of just look at the landscape, the New York Giants, Raiders, I could see that. But if I'm Matthew Stafford, these teams have worse offensive lines than the Rams do. I don't think they're close to winning a championship. I don't think these are teams that he necessarily would want to go to at this point in his career. So to me, it's kind of like Vikings are come back to the Rams. And if he does end up going to the Vikings or any other team for that much, look for the Rams maybe to take a one-year flyer on Aaron Rodgers and maybe even bring in Devontae Adams with him to fill that Cup role. It's kind of short-term, one-year deals, low-money deals, maybe in like the 10 to 15 million range. Those are things that I would look like the Rams would do if they end up losing Stafford.
Anytime you can be the Jets, you should try to be the Jets. You know, it's interesting. You say that like this may be ultimately a way to bring Stafford back, right? Like you put out the market. But what would it take for them to say, all right, well, we're not going to bring him back. We're not going to reach a contract extension with him. We are going to trade. What does that actually look like to you? And if that's the move they end up making because somebody presents whatever you think that is, what is the quarterback option for the Rams? Do they go young? Do they draft one? Or is it maybe a Darnold or a Rodgers? Like, what do you think their quarterback replacement is if they indeed trade Matt Stafford?
Yeah, if they indeed do, and to me, it is a number one pick to come back for Stafford. Now, obviously not the same haul that it took to get Stafford from the Lions when Jared Goff famously went to Detroit, and I think that's a trade that you could argue now worked out for both teams. The Rams win the Super Bowl in their first year with Matthew Stafford, and the Lions were able to take those first-round picks that they got from the Rams and turn them into some pretty good players and win a division and be a perennial playoff team. They haven't obviously won the Super Bowl or gotten over the hump yet, but that is a team that, to me, looks like both teams, you could argue, could say you could win the trade like that. So for the Rams, I think they'd be looking for a first-round pick in return if that's something the Vikings are willing to do for a year or two of Matthew Stafford before they hand the reins over to J.J. McCarthy, like I said. And then you would pivot. Now, because of where they are in the draft, I think they're just too far down to get a quarterback. That's a problem with a couple teams. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that comes to mind that maybe not be ready to draft. They're looking for a veteran. Maybe the Raiders are looking at the same thing, although you could argue that they're maybe in sniffing distance of like a Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. So to me, I don't think the Rams are high enough to get a franchise quarterback. I also know that this draft outside of Sanders and Ward is not a very deep draft, the quarterback position. So this is a thing where I think the Rams, if they do end up moving Stafford for a first round pick, try to find a stopgap veteran for a year or two. And there's a lot of names out there. To me, Rodgers makes the most sense if it's not Stafford. I think he proved in those like last six games last year that he still has a little bit of magic in him. And under Sean McVay, an offensive genius, you could argue, at the quarterback position, what he's been able to do to Stafford, that's something that he might be able to kind of extend Rodgers' career a little bit. I know they don't want the drama, but here in L.A., we like stars and we kind of like drama a little bit. You tease Luka Doncic, so I'm sure that's part of it. I don't know. Russell Wilson is another name that's a veteran that might be available. Sam Darnold, like you mentioned, that's something the Rams might be interested in. It just depends on, is Sam looking to have a big payday and sign a longer term contract now that he'll be a free agent after and try to cash in on the year he had in 2024. So those are the questions, and those would be some of the names that they would look to. But I would assume they would go veteran for the 2025 season 1 to 2 year deal, maybe with a team option for the second deal, and then try to draft somebody with one of those first round picks they received for the future.
I mean, it's fascinating too. This is the biggest domino of the offseason. Unquestionably, it feels like a lot of other things will depend on what happens here. And this is a Rams team that's a couple of plays away from beating the Eagles in Philadelphia in a snowstorm in the playoffs.
They so pick up Carter and they might win
that game.
It's not like
they're that far. It's unbelievable. So, Michael J. Duarte is our guest, covering the whole LA sports scene down for NBC LA. At Michael J. Duarte on Twitter. You can go follow him there. Has Luka Doncic fever swept up the entire city?
The answer is yes. With the Dodgers still in Arizona for spring training, they haven't returned yet. They'll open up the season in Japan before heading back here at the end of March for their opening day and their ring ceremony. So until that happens, yes, Luka Doncic has absolutely swept over the city of L.A. There's a reason why Southern California is known for its earthquakes, because that was a seismic shift in the NBA when that trade went down. And it was one of those trades where, you know, you could argue maybe the most shocking and biggest trade you've seen in NBA history. Certainly the biggest trade I've seen in the middle of a season in NBA history. That was as unpredictable as a game of rock, paper, scissors. And what made it so was the fact that this entire thing was done by Nico Harris and by Rob Pelinka in the shadows. In today's day and age, we hear rumblings, we see tweets, we see rumors, we see talking heads like you and I talking about it ad nauseum. And we can look at Jimmy Butler as a great example. De'Aaron Fox is a great example. This was one nobody had on their radar. Nobody was doing rumblings or rumors about, and it came seemingly out of absolutely nowhere. But now that we've taken some time to digest and it's set in, and Luka Doncic has made his debut, and he's kind of shaking off that rust that he had coming back off that calf injury that sidelined him since Christmas Day, we're seeing a little bit about what this Lakers team can look like now with LeBron James and Luka Doncic alongside each other. They did something that they never did in the last couple of years with Anthony Davis on the team, and that's beat the Denver Nuggets in Denver on their home court. And they didn't just do it with a quick, short victory. They did it in blowout fashion, I might add, with a 23-point victory over a team in the Denver Nuggets that had won 9 straight going into that, and it looked to be pretty easy for the Lakers. So that was a dragon they have not been able to slay, and they finally got over that hump with Luka Doncic, who had his best game, as I just mentioned, in the purple and gold, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, flirting with a triple-double. But the most important stat that kind of shown out at me was 4 steals in that game. So J.J. Redick told me before that game and after that he wanted to bring out the old Luka. In fact, he said to Luka and challenged him, "I want you to scream at nothing in this game." And I think that was a nod to when he's going right and he's excited and passionate, you see him yell at seemingly nobody. And that's what he wanted to see from Luka Doncic. And that's what we saw in that game. And people have been asking me for weeks, how exactly is this going to look alongside LeBron James? Because they're both ball-dominant players that are elite scorers that need the ball in their hands. And I kept telling people, look, LeBron James has the basketball IQ that he can play with anybody. And if you want to go find a comp, look at LeBron's early years, that first season with the Miami Heat, the Threedles, they called him. That was back in like 2010, I believe. And that was 2 ball dominant guys like Dwayne, with Dwayne Wade on his side. They needed to learn to play together. And you saw the Dwayne Wade alley-oops and no look passes and the famous bounce pass with his arms spread as LeBron was dunking behind him. Well, go back to the tape of that Denver game. There was a couple alley-oops that Luka Doncic threw LeBron James running the break. And so we're seeing a little bit of visions of that old kind of Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. And I think this might actually turn back the clock. You can imagine to say that on a 40-year-old player in James, who's in his 22nd year. But if he can play off the ball a little bit, take some kind of wear and tread off that body, with Luka Doncic able to handle some of the offense at times in the game, and especially late in the game, when there's 5-6 minutes left, if you're a defense, an opposing defense, trying to decide how you're going to guard, you know, 2 of the 5 best scorers in the NBA, is very difficult to do. And adding Luka at the point guard position, 6'5", 6'6", you could argue very long. And you already have LeBron James, you have Austin Reeves, you have Jared Vanderbilt, Rui Hachimura. You have some very long, lengthy guys on defense. And I think that provides matchups that favor the Lakers on defense and are nightmares for opposing defenses to and offenses to plan for. So the Lakers look good, and we'll see. I don't know if I think they're better than the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West, which to me are the best team in the NBA right now. But I like what the Lakers look like now with Doncic and LeBron James healthy alongside each other.
We're way against it, so it's got to be a yes or no only. People in L.A. care about USC's spring football game being canceled.
No, nobody cares, yeah. And this is the direction college football is heading, as we can see, yeah. Exactly.
Michael J. Duarte, one of our favorites down in Los Angeles. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Michael J. Duarte, covering the L.A. sports scene for NBC L.A. Thank you, as always. Not many West Coast people will get up for us live on the air.
No.
You're one of the few. We always appreciate it, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, I know we were trying to do it for the last couple of weeks, so thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great show.
Yeah, thank you, man. There you go. Michael J. Duarte from Los Angeles. The Daily Ticker brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Four locations along the Oregon coast. Fly over to a Pelican location. Enjoy epic views, local brews all year long. Pelican Brewing looks forward to seeing you at the coast. Let's get to a little bit of this Stafford stuff. Anything left in the tank there? How would you feel if your team acquired him? What's he asking for? Is it fair? And where would L.A. go? Like, getting Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, that's going to do it for you? Interesting domino that's going to fall here in the offseason in the NFL. We'll talk about it next on The Fam.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, guess what, folks? Did you know? Did you know that if you text the word Hawks, H-A-W-K-S, to 503-864-6326, that is the Vancouver Ford text line, you will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Portland Winterhawks against the Seattle Thunderbirds, their dreaded rival, could enter for a chance to win. What did I say? I don't know. March 7th, Friday, March 7th at the Memorial Coliseum, the old VMC. Again, text Hawks, 503-864-6326, and you could win a four-pack of tickets to see the Winterhawks and the Thunderbirds.
Can't even read the reads right.
Somebody said they thought I said something in that last segment. I'm not going to say what they thought I said in that last segment. I don't know when they thought I said
punts.
Yeah.
They thought you said punts.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I did.
Yeah.
Swag doesn't know what I'm talking about, so I don't think he didn't catch it.
I had no clue.
I didn't get an email from anybody, so I think we're in the clear.
Would have maybe looked at you a little side-eye, like, what?
I feel like somebody would have had a reaction if I said a word like that on the air. I feel like there would have been something there, but no. Yeah, so there you go. 1080thefan.com has all of your details, and we will be giving those away all week long. I think that's a TV game. I think I'm going to be there that night, calling it on TV. I am going to call out, they had a mascot night last night. It was a TV game last night. Spokane Chiefs, pretty good hockey. Mascot night, Jack Sparrow was there. Like, I'm walking around the bowels of the VMC.
Johnny Depp?
Like, not the Johnny Depp, but the guy looked pretty, like, it was a close, it was pretty identical.
Stunt double.
And so the whole time I thought he's going to be out there, because the whole theme of mascot night is you go on the ice and you play against the Junior Hawks. It's the, you know, those highlights of the mascots.
Yeah, but he's not a mascot.
I know, but he was there, and like, what's he doing there then?
Putting somebody in costume because they don't have a mascot that they tried to get.
There were Ghostbusters there. Get them on the ice.
Those are Halloween costumes.
Yeah, they were there for mascot night.
But those aren't mascots.
But they were there for mascot
night. But somebody at the Winterhawks needs to know those are not mascots for any real team.
They were there and they should have been playing hockey last night.
Is there a Slimers? Is there a Charlotte Slimers? Why would you have the Ghostbusters there?
Now, do the mascots have to skate, or is it like broom ball?
Oh, no, they're skating. You got to skate.
So Johnny Depp was skating last night.
No, he didn't skate. He was just walking around the arena.
Maybe it was a hockey fan dressed as a pirate, like the guy in Dodgeball.
I'm calling out that guy. If you're listening
to
that
guy, you're not a pirate, man.
Get your ass out there on the ice and do something, okay?
Peter.
Matthew Stafford could be on the move.
Peter?
Peter? I got a haircut.
Peter, where'd you go?
I love that.
Why are the Ghostbusters there? I don't get it.
I don't know. I was so confused. That's why I was disappointed. I was like,
the Ghostbusters skated.
I know. I was hoping they would be on the ice. Why were they not playing hockey? I wanted to see him out there, even if he's falling down.
Anytime you can go from being the Rams this year to being the Jets of last year to next year, you do it all day.
So
what are we doing here?
They're giving Matthew Stafford's agent, the Rams are, permission to speak to other teams about his market value. He wants a rewritten contract. Now, there's certain dates and poison pills in this of, you know, they got to make a decision by X date. There's an extension and a roster bonus and all that kind of stuff. Matthew Stafford is 37 years old.
Yeah.
So a two-parter. One is, this is an interesting spot for the Rams to be in because they have been really close to winning playoff games the last 2 years against really good teams. Detroit 2 years ago, who went to the NFC title game and damn near beat the Niners. This past year, it was Philly, who steamrolled their way to a Super Bowl, and they had the ball late in that game in a snowstorm with a chance to win it, and he was pretty solid in that game. So they've been close, but haven't been able to break down that door again since winning the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I'd imagine the smart move for the Rams is to keep him, because I don't know what the alternative is for them, and I sure as hell do not want Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. But then the question becomes, if you're another team, how much money are you comfortable paying 37-year-old Matthew Stafford?
Well, look, to Duarte's reporting on this is he thinks this is a way for them to come back around and get an extension worked out at some level. What I would say, and he might end up being, I don't get why the Vikings would dive into this.
If I'm Minnesota, I'd rather tag Donald for a year.
And let McCarthy kind of come back from the injury. And if the season isn't the dream season you just had at 14-3, eventually McCarthy sees the field week 10, 12, 13, whatever it is. I'd rather do that than get rid of Darnold and bring in Stafford to pay him a bunch of money for a short amount of time. So that was a really random team to be thrown out, because the one that makes the sense,
I mean, there's teams that are desperate for quarterbacks. The Giants are absolutely desperate for quarterbacks.
The Giants probably fire their general manager and coach if they have like a 4-win season, even though it's clearly obvious they're going to be like a 5-win team this year because they should be drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand where this is going. I'll also say this. I don't like to be fantasy football nerd guy. I had Stafford as a quarterback. He was quite terrible.
You did. He did not have a great year this year.
Many a week he gave me like 4 points. And you get 4 points, but quarterback position, guess what? You tend not to win.
He was elite his first year in LA, and then he has been average.
He didn't have a good year.
He was banged up the next year, and then the last 2 years he's been. Yeah.
And even that Philly game, like, he did come back at the end. He did almost nothing for about 2.5 quarters. So their whole, you know, I think they did hurry up offense at the end of that game, and the Eagles couldn't get offense going in a snowstorm. This probably ends with him going back to the Rams, I would imagine, but this isn't Stafford and I guess Rodgers to a certain degree, maybe Russ. Like, I just don't view those three as like you're putting them over the top, right? Like, I think the Rams can be really good.
The missing piece for a team winning a championship.
I think if the Rams are good next year, it's because their defense takes a big step. And their defensive line was, man, they had two rookies on that line that were amazing, former teammates, and turned teammates now in the NFL. So I just don't really understand why a team would trade a first for him. I get it, I guess, in the sense of you're the Giants, you get him in, Daboll clicks with him, you make a wild card, is where that would go. But I watched him play a lot this year. I'm a fan. I just wasn't really overly impressed with him. And that's playing in controlled conditions most of the year in LA. So
the only team that would make sense for me, because I agree with you, like the Giants are not, they're not a quarterback away. They definitely need a quarterback. But if the Giants have a quarterback next year, is anybody picking them to win the, they might be the worst team in the division still, even with Stafford, if they bring him in. The only team that if you said, all right, I could see it, let's try and hit this window in the next 2 years, and I think there's a little bit left in the tank. Like, if I'm rotating between what I'd rather have, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Matthew Stafford.
The Steelers?
It's a no-brainer for me. It's Pittsburgh. Yeah. Pittsburgh's the only one that I look at and say, all right, I don't know if you're winning the AFC North. I don't know if you're winning anything. But you're good defensively. You got okay weapons on offense. Like,
right.
All right. That at least I'll give you a puncher's chance in the AFC next year.
So him going to the Steelers, Rodgers going to the Steelers, that doesn't elevate them in your mind as true contender in the AFC?
I would give him more of a chance than I would with any of the other veteran quarterbacks that are on the market.
The Darnold, the Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, the Stafford thing is interesting. I don't disagree with you at all. When you look at the numbers the last 2 years, they haven't been overwhelming. I don't jump. I mean, 2 years ago, it was 24 touchdowns, 11 picks, 3,900 yards.
That's a good year.
That's fine. Yeah. This year, it was 20 touchdowns, 8 picks, 3,700 yards. It's like, all right.
A lot of weeks, it didn't feel that way.
I mean, if you have, especially Adam on fantasy, there's just something about him, and I think it's probably the playoff thing of like he's won a Super Bowl, he's been good in big moments at times, and they've been really close. And he was I know that he didn't do a lot early in that game against Philly. You look at the numbers at the end of the game, he didn't have to do a ton against Minnesota because they blew him out and scored some defensive touchdowns.
Yeah,
he was 19-27, 209 yards, 2 TDs, no picks.
Yeah,
and then in the Philly game, because of that flurry offensively late, he had 324 yards, 2 TDs, no interceptions on the road against what is a really good defense, and they scored 22 points in that game and had the ball with a chance to win. I put him in Pittsburgh. There's a shot there. I'm not picking you to win the division because I still think that's Baltimore's division.
Yeah,
could you be better than Cincy depending on what happens in their offseason? Could you win a playoff game or two? The Giants to me make literally no sense with Matthew Stafford.
Well, that would be a desperation move by Shane and
let's
Dable.
Keep our job,
like,
and
to give Mara some
spot.
Vote of confidence. Yeah. Like, hey, we can win this year. The Steeler one. Look, you got Pickens, Freiermuth. You got some stuff.
Good defense.
I would say I would not be sure how much he's going to stay healthy. I still think you need to be concerned about that with him. And playing in freezing cold conditions for basically the entire end of the season because you've got Cincinnati, you've got
Baltimore
and Cleveland, and then playing at home, like it's your home field, but ain't no cupcake either.
It's a cold division with no domes.
It's a very cold situation, and he has a lot of miles on that body, man. He took a beating in Detroit, and he, you know, first year it worked out for them with the Rams. But if he was able to get through a season and make the playoffs, I still think he is capable of being one of those quarterbacks that in a one-game elimination...
You need him in one game,
like,
come up with a throw, come up with a drive.
It. He can make that throw. It's just the longevity is more what
totally
I'm hinting
fair.
At, and I don't know if he would make it through a full season.
They have an opt-out in his deal in L.A. after this upcoming year, which is what a lot of this is stemming from, because he wants a little more guarantees. It sounds like he wants to keep playing. And so he wants a little more security. We'll see if the Rams give it to him and they rework the deal or if somebody else does potentially in a trade market.
I think he ends back up with the Rams.
I do too. That would be my money as well. This seems like posturing that you get early in the offseason that ends up leading back to a reunion. And hey, how about 3 years? Let's rework this thing a little bit. I don't know what the money ends up being, but my bet would be on him returning to Los Angeles as well. I'm going to ask you this question. Does this move your sports needle at all? Something happened over the weekend, and I'm curious if people are even paying attention to it. I'm going to talk about that next. Well, you might find you get what you need. All right, welcome back in. 8:37. Is this guy cooked? And the Blazers are back in action tonight. We'll close up the show there.
Oh, it's dumping right now.
Is it?
Yeah. We didn't have good weather. Did that go away?
It's done. Not ready for my spring proclamation yet.
It's supposed to be by Wednesday.
Thursday, slightly. Friday, sunny.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
God, we lost Saturday. Sunday was sunny, too.
Yesterday was miserable. Just
I moved a couch yesterday. You're telling me it was miserable.
Full bar. I was moving all weekend. Oh, moved my entire house this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
It was that couch, huh? Are you paying attention to this? Does it move your sports needle at all? Something happened over the weekend. And somebody has inched closer and closer to history.
I Ovi. Put it in the open.
It was in the open.
I almost led the show with it.
Alexander Ovechkin, who I was calling a hockey game last night. It's interesting to be around hockey and you get the takes from people. Some people not happy about this.
Yeah, that's one of those records that...
Why? Because he had an empty netter? Who cares?
That's part of it.
How many did Gretzky have in his career?
I think it's the idea of like... I mean, they had an extended 5-on-3 and he played basically a 5-minute 5-on-3.
He's going for the record. Breaking news.
Like pass the puck to Ovi.
He's 13 away.
Hammering slap shots. So he's had a hat trick yesterday. They beat, who did they beat?
They beat the Oilers.
Edmonton, 7-3.
Coincidentally beat Edmonton.
He had a hat trick. He is now 13 goals away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's NHL career record of 894 goals.
Which nobody ever thought would happen.
This is one of those records that we assumed was untouchable for a long time.
He's 39.
He's going to do it.
Well, maybe not this year.
He's going to do it, though. He'll come back. I mean, he has one goal and one goal in line.
Projecting right around the last week of the season at his current rate that he'll be right there.
Sometimes you say things, and I'm like, did you hear one thing or see a tweet? But, like, I'm generally asking, why are we bothered if this is part of how it happens? This is sports.
Yeah.
Is he playing to break records and be great?
Yes, he is.
Do we want to watch these all-time athletes be great? Yeah. Don't we like watching crazy historical things happen in our lives, especially in a record with a guy that we largely say
by the way,
untouchable.
The Capitals have the best record in the Eastern Conference.
They've been really good
this year.
It's not
like
that's
he's on a crappy team
and
they're just feeding him to go for this. They're winning.
And I know
they are winning on top of
it. I know he had a broken leg. He's 39 and he's still doing this.
And he looks like he's 47 with that gray hair out, that salt and pepper out there.
They have 25 games to go in the regular season. He is 13 goals away.
Who are the people miserable about this? They should not be covering that sport.
I mean,
this is awesome.
It's just random hockey fans. I think there's a lot of people who look
there's
at...
There's no asterisk here. This
no,
isn't
none
like...
at all. It's part of the rules.
Yeah.
You can score when it's 5-on-3. It's not a Bonds Hank Aaron thing. I think it's a Wayne Gretzky beloved thing of he's just such a big figure in the sport of hockey that to see him no longer have that record is a sad thing
grow
for
up,
some
Peter
fans.
Pan.
He has like
so
every other record.
They bring Wayne out on the TNT studio show.
Has he given a single thought on anything? But like, what's his thoughts on this?
I think he's planning on being there when it gets close. And
is he gonna?
I think he'll embrace it. I mean, he's the all-time.
He's not.
Nobody's touching the assist record.
Nobody's touching.
Like, if nobody's gonna have a 56-game hit streak in the major leagues ever again, nobody is touching the assist record.
Well, and I'll say,
what are the eyeballs this gets? Because these kind of records are hard.
Not a lot.
Yeah, because it's like the Bonds thing. When you eventually broke it, you just don't know when it's gonna come. Like when LeBron became the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, you knew when it was going to happen. Like
he was within 30.
Goals are like home runs. Like hockey goals are like home runs.
Yes. You have no clue. It could happen. You could have 3 one night, and then go 2 weeks without one.
Once he gets within 4 or 5, then you start paying attention.
Then
on
you
a
start watching
basis,
Capitals.
If he
games?
Has a hat trick, and then start looking out.
Start plugging.
How many has he got on the season now? After the hat trick?
After the hat trick, he has 29.
Okay, so
29 goals.
If you honestly told me, though, because of the age, because it doesn't count in the playoffs, correct?
No.
No, this is just,
regular season goals.
If you told me it was just a little before right now next year that he's like a goal away, I wouldn't be overly shocked. He'll be 40 years old. How many 40-year-olds play hockey, right? Like. Yeah. That's kind of what the age will do. So we don't know how many more he'll get. He's 13 away now. His teammates basically, he said it himself in the post game of like, yeah, I'm going for it. But I don't know if all
his teammates know it. It was funny last night because they were up by 3, I want to say, with a couple of minutes to go in the game. And Edmonton they pulled their goalie down by 3.
They did.
Everybody's like, you're not going to win the game. Why are you pulling your goalie down by 3 with two, whatever, how much time was
that? He also shot it from almost the
entire. It was like the entire length of the ice.
He's like, what the hell? Shot.
So, I mean, there's a balance there, too. I was just curious how much people are paying attention to this because it was a record in sports that many people looked at and said, nah, nobody's ever going to get there for career goals. He's going to get there, whether it's this year or early next season or mid next season or maybe it's halfway through next year, to your point. I don't know how he's going to age.
This
he's
is probably
40
the,
years old.
This is probably the next
big one to fall.
Big sports record.
Yeah.
Right? Going on. Is there another one in another sport that we're not aware of?
Not after LeBron passed Kareem.
LeBron got Kareem's scoring record.
There's not one in football, right?
No.
No.
No quarterbacks.
Is there a baseball
ready?
One?
Not off the top of my head, no. Not a career record.
See, like, that's kind of my point to what you're saying. Like, I don't know who the hockey fan was or if it's even real. I mean, a lot of these thoughts in Twitter are coming from Russia themselves, but, like...
Oh, no, it was a conversation at the VMC yesterday, getting ready for the Hawks game. There were some that were just... They were pouring a little cold water on it.
Then stop following and watching hockey. There's Blue Line Brandon's take. Like, why can't we just appreciate when this stuff happens? It doesn't happen often. We don't have... According to all of us right now, maybe a texter or a YouTuber has one that's on the horizon that we're not thinking. But, like, this just doesn't happen often. I'm not the most big hockey guy. Like, I don't have the ice package or whatever the hell it's called. But I knew, I saw what he did yesterday, and I read
a whole blurb on this. You just need ESPN Plus. You can watch
ESPN
all the games,
Plus.
Man.
They're all on ESPN.
You don't even need the ice package, Blue Line Brandon.
But
what
I'm not going
doing?
To. But my point is, I even read the post game on this. This is pretty remarkable. I've been told Gretzky's records are untouchable.
Yeah.
And this is one of those that everybody kind of thought was going to be untouchable. The longevity and the amazing talent that he's had. Is got him in a position where he potentially could break this record. This is great. This is what sports needs. Every league needs this. That sport needs this. Basketball needed LeBron to break the scoring record. You know, football doesn't need any records to be broken, but you still dabble with it like we did this year with a rushing record. I don't get the people who just live in misery and say, like, how awful it is that a record gets broken. I just enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, if somebody texted in, Vancouver Ford text line, where did this go? I might ask how many games did it take him versus how many games it took Gretzky. You know, wanted to see if the numbers were similar. So, they're not that big of a difference. Ovechkin has played, to this point in his career, he has 882 goals. Again, he's 13 away from breaking the record.
Okay.
1,467 games for Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Gretzky, with his 894 goals, 1,487 games.
Yeah, so it's similar.
It's not one of those where it's like he held on for five more years and played an extra 500 games, and that's why he broke the record. They're very similar in terms of the length of the career and the number of games that they played. And really, to be honest, their goal productions later in their careers. Gretzky didn't have Gretzky was more heavy loaded, I feel like, early on.
Yeah, with those Oiler teams, that was absurd.
Just an insane number. I mean, he led the league, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in a row, or 5 out of 6 years, whatever.
How many Hall of Famers was he playing with?
Exactly. I mean, that was a part of it, too. And so Ovi has been a little bit better older, I would argue, than Wayne Gretzky has in terms of goal production. The numbers have been a little bit stronger. So there's a difference and a balance there. It's a big deal. I mean, and to your point, I mean, there's no other big records that are on the brink of falling anytime soon
in
professional sports.
So I just looked it up, and this is just a simple kind of search, but I found an article. So you guys have to help me with this. Berhard Langer, PGA Championship Tour wins. He's 2 wins away from Hale Irwin's.
Oh, that's on the Champions
Tour. Okay. Yeah.
Is that a big deal?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Djokovic,
and
Wimbledon wins.
He's an absolute cheater with his extended anchored putter.
Okay, well, there's
bastard.
The bastard.
Djokovic, the all-time, he's going for the all-time Djokovic slams title.
86
record.
Matches at Wimbledon, which is close to Federer's record of 105. So he might have the most wins in Wimbledon history.
But how many more Wimbledons will that take to get there?
A few.
Well, you got to win 7
to win
it.
Be a few.
So that'd be 3.5 more years.
Okay.
Tom Brady's passing yards is 102,614. That might be one that gets broken because of the way the NFL is.
But nobody's
is.
Close right now. Somebody will get there eventually,
how close
maybe.
Is
but
Rodgers. Rodgers is the only guy that would be close.
I don't think he's anywhere close because he didn't play the first 4 years of his career.
Yeah, I wonder how close Lamar gets. Lamar's and Josh Allen, like, the 4,000-yard passing stuff is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's just, what is the
there's
next
nothing on
best
the horizon
record to be broken in sports?
Yeah, there's nothing on the horizon right now.
So the people at the VMZ, you're miserable.
Don't be miserable.
Enjoy stuff.
Yeah, so Ovechkin's
okay.
13 away. You think he gets it done this year?
No.
Yes.
You do?
He's got like 20-plus games.
25 games. He has 29 goals in 41 games this year. He's got to score 13 in the final 25 games.
It'd be cool if they did. I don't think he will do it.
That would be a 42-goal season for 39-year-old Alexander Ovechkin.
No, I think he'll get there.
Okay.
Just had a kid, too. He lived life the right way.
At 39? First kid?
I don't know if it's... Well, there was a little... He was dabbing his son up.
Oh.
And his son was couldn't have been older than like four.
Young kid.
So I was like, okay, Ovi lived his life. He lived a good hockey life.
There was a great documentary years ago. They used to do like the behind the scenes Winter Classic stuff. He'd still live with his parents for a long time when he was with the Capitals early on in his career. Like just, yeah, whatever. You know, just hanging out, partying, going to play NHL games. They can live with me. So Ovechkin, is that move your sports needle? Let us know. Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326.
Do you think it's yes or no if you did a poll?
I think it's probably no.
It's unfortunate.
Does him being a Ruski have anything to do with that?
No.
I'm just wondering. Just thinking aloud. The Blazers are back in action tonight. And is this guy cooked? We'll close up there next on The Fan. All right, I'm efforting to get the poll questions up. First one is up. I forgot to do it earlier. Now it's up. Who would you rather have on your team, Baker Mayfield or Micah Parsons? Random.
No context.
I know. No context. Just who would you rather have? Yeah. And then I'm going to get one up here. Ovechkin, 13 goals away from breaking Gretzky's all-time goals scored record in the NHL. Does that move your sports needle? And my definitive statement in Sharpie has been written down.
Look, it's written down. We're going to hold this. This, you couldn't have been worse at doing this. He wrote it in like a size 2 font.
You didn't tell me you're going to hold it up. I thought you just wanted
Why
to
Why would
write...
I have you do this and not hold it up?
I didn't know. I thought we were just going to post it on the wall.
Titans will suck.
Yeah.
Even if they draft Ward next season, signed by Dieter Johnson.
It's a very bold take.
What does suck mean, by the way?
Like, suck. Top 10
bottom
pick.
Five team?
No, top 10 pick doesn't mean you suck.
No, you're bottom five if
you think
you
the
suck.
Niners suck?
Picking
ninth.
Okay, I'll give you top five.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair.
Top five.
I mean, the Niners were pretty bad this year. They were 6-11.
They also blew like four games in the final 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I would say 6-11 was sucking. That's pretty bad.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
All right.
The team ahead of them in the standings was the Jets. They were one win better than the Jets. Did the Jets suck this year?
Different. They didn't blow like six games in the final quarter.
Did the Cowboys suck this year?
Yeah, they didn't have a quarterback.
Cowboys had a better record than the 49ers this year.
Yeah, well, they're the Cowboys.
So the Niners didn't suck at
championship.
Niners didn't suck at 6-11, but the Cowboys sucked at 7-10.
If you wanted to find it by top 10, that's okay. You can do that.
I'll go top five. That's fine. I'll give you a top five pick next year.
Okay.
The Titans will suck next season. I know, a very bold take on February 24th, 2025. I'll get the poll question up on Gretzky and Ovechkin. Is Joel Embiid cooked? Is his career done?
I don't know if his career is done. It certainly doesn't look good right now because of his age and those knees. I'm not trying to make an excuse for Joel Embiid. They have completely miscalculated the way to handle this season, and them playing him when he clearly doesn't want to play. Your season's over. You stand no chance. You got 20 wins. I mentioned it earlier. They're the fourth worst record in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, they got all out tank the rest of the year.
Well, but like, yeah, because if you get outside the top six, the Thunder gets your pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well give yourself the best chances to not lose that pick.
It's your only hope long term.
And get a good young player into the nucleus, and you just got to say, this is it. But I'll be curious to see, do they move off of Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse? Because it's not gone well at all.
Yes, he's cooked. He's done.
He's on the wrong side of 32.
You don't think he could sit the rest of this season and come back and be a productive player on like a more limited basis?
I'm not saying he can't, but can you afford to have him on a limited basis with the contract that he's got for four more years, I believe?
You got to build it to where he plays like 50 games, and you hope he can play 50 games.
Good luck with that. Blazers on the road in Utah tonight. We'll see if they start the roadie with a win. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. Catch the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Spraggan, at 1080 The Fan. Thanks for watching on YouTube. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almaced.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.